to root it, to anchor it, all the way to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And it's not accidental that those are the first words of Scripture in Genesis, in the beginning. This is the founding act of God. And he spins out this daring and different picture of everything. That God became being. That's not so daring for Jewish thought, but it's very daring in Greek and Roman thought. That God is tied up in the stuff of the world. One of the things that was daring in Jewish thought was that it happened in exile, that God was not just the biggest of the gods, but that there was only one God. And that this one God was actually bigger than any religion. That this was an ultimate reality. That was a joke formula. And then to pair that with, and this reality, beyond reality, is suddenly the stuff of the world. That those are the same thing is a new thing. The Franciscan theologian, medieval theologian of the 13th century, John Duns Scotus, one of the great philosophers of his time, first really kind of caught this and said that God's first word out of God's mouth of creation is Christ. He's just picking up John. But what that means is that everything after that is part of God. That nothing can derail from God's way, God's plan, God's blueprint. This is, we hear it really in the Hebrews reading, that this is the exact imprint of God, Christ, and everything that unfolds from it. But a blueprint is not a photograph. It's not like we're just this kind of carbon copy from the mind of God. I knew an engineer back a decade ago who said, no building is what the blueprint says it is. That what's in the mind of the architect is always the thing that everyone is working toward, but there are workarounds all along the way. Discoveries that are because of the building materials or the site or the cost overruns or everything that require improvisation. So that any building is a kind of creative improv between the blueprint and the possibility. It emerges in the moment. And this is what cosmologists, biologists are telling us more and more about what the world is like, how it comes to be. That there are these deep patterns at work, more than we have ever imagined, and the number keeps growing as we keep discovering more. That there is a kind of embeddedness in these patterns. It's not mechanical, but it's very improvisational. That the patterns are deep and complex and simple in such a connected way that it's possible that every proton is connected to every other proton in a way that allows us to say that the universe may be conscious of itself and learning from itself in a kind of feedback and feed forward loop. So, in science and the Gospel of John start to sound a lot alike. That gets pretty exciting. Certainly more exciting than the theology books I read in seminary. And I'll say it straight. It would sound like heresy, except that I think I'm rooting myself in John Duns Scotus and John and the depth of Scripture, that we have for 1,000 years and even longer, we have gone down this very dark path of doctrine of original sin. It started out as a pretty And everyone was certain this was God's judgment, that this was because of sin. This was because of this deep-rooted sinfulness of humanity. And the darker sides of the Inquisition and the Reformation cemented it in, and they found sin in every shadow. And while there have always been bright lights pointing a different way, usually the great women mystics, and St. Francis and a few others, this sense of a deep, bright, organic connectedness, this awareness, has been suppressed for centuries and is now just starting to grow back in the last century and even decades. Something is up. Something is worth noticing. I think the gift that John gives us on this Christmas day is going back to the beginning, laying the foundation again, to say something that we have forgotten for a long time, which is that nothing is broken, at least not from God's perspective. There is a lot that's broken in our awareness, starting with original sin as an unoriginal lie. Abandoning that great hijack of what Jesus and Paul were trying to tell us is so important. Yes, there is a lot broken in the world, but it's on our side of the equation, not on God's. The Buddhists have a version of their own creed that is used in every service that says, greed, hatred, and ignorance rise endlessly. I vow to abandon them. What's broken is our awareness, our sense of disconnection from God in creation and from one another. That awareness is healed in a thousand different ways, including telling the story, telling our story again and again and again from this perspective of what Matthew Fox calls original blessing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through the Word. Nothing is made but through Him. So, to do this, to make it practical, how to do this, you know, kind of change the filter and see it in a fresh way. I'm actually going to use some of the text from John, one that is used as one of the most exclusive texts in John, which is often a very exclusive gospel. Lower in the reading today is written, John writes, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. So, what if you don't believe in his name? And what does that even mean? This is not a narrow doctrinal formula of believing in the right precepts, believing in the right things about Jesus. In Jesus' name means something more like stepping into his shoes, Paul says. It's like signing a document in someone else's name. It has all the power of that one. You become that someone. It is not believing facts about Jesus, but it's believing in the way that Jesus believed. Jesus wasn't trying to get us to believe in dogmas or doctrines. He was trying to get us to believe in our own experience of God as it was happening. To experience it. To just be in it. That's a blueprint. Just living with the blueprint. Knowing that this cosmic force of relationship that we call love is God showing up always, drawing everything together, no matter how distorted Heaven is here and now, and divinity is in and through us, and it can be real and true. Power to become the children of God, as John says, if